4. The Mill House, York, England, 1799 AD. The Mill House stood unchanged and indelible against a backdrop of green. For Ransley, Yorkshire was a balm, despite the drizzle of chilly rain dripping from a grey sky. It had been... how long had it been? Like so many questions to which he didn't have the answers, Ransley could not have said with any certainty. Something had been taken from him, and everything in the world had changed. He'd awoken months ago in the city of Amiens, France, only to find himself with no memory of why he was there or how he'd arrived. He'd known with some certainty that the year was 1798, and it didn't take much effort to determine that the month was October. Beyond that, however, everything was a dark haze. More worryingly, when he'd gone looking for other vampires in hopes that they might offer some insight into what had happened to him and what was going on in the world, he'd found none. There were, however, Fae. His first encounter with a shadowy blonde figure jarred loose something too indistinct to properly be called a memory. It was more of a feeling, an inkling, that there had been a conflict of some kind, a struggle between the Fae and the demons, a war? The Fae, those who noticed him, watched him with wary green eyes, and always disappeared rather than make contact, unfriendly or otherwise. At a loss, Ransley traveled through France to Spain, and from there along the Mediterranean coast, searching for any sign of either vampires or demons. He found neither. As the months passed, he began to worry about his own sanity, as one did when the world suddenly stopped making any sort of rational sense. He traveled a world that he should have recognized, but didn't. Days bled into weeks, and he devoted far less energy than he should have to his own upkeep. He fed only when the blood hunger overcame him, slept little, and dreamed far too much. Though the visions that jerked him awake from restless dozing always dissipated like mist before he could properly mark them. Sometimes he lost entire days, regaining awareness suddenly without any memory of the events leading up to his present circumstances, and his stomach cramping with the need for blood. Like a wraith, he wandered Europe in search of something, anything that might act as a touchstone to the past. There was nothing, though. Nothing except Fae in the shadows and the tatters of his own sanity. Eventually, inevitably, he washed up in England, because really, where else was there to go? Here, too, the taste of Fae magic lingered on the back of his tongue. It was worst in London, fading as he travelled north, past Cambridge and Peterborough, past Nottingham and east of Leeds. As he approached his beloved York, the air seemed to lighten, and his heart with it. He'd had a custom, across the long years of his life, to always stop at the churchyard where his family's memorial stones were set. They were not actually buried there. In truth, he had no idea what had become of the plague-ravaged bodies. Burned, perhaps, or piled into a mass grave with other victims of the Black Death. This small custom was etched into his bones, a part of the fabric of his life that could not be unpicked. Yet he couldn't have said how long it had been since he last gazed upon the moss-covered stones. Had they always been so worn? Had his sister's marker always slanted a few degrees from true? He blinked at the aged carvings, nearly illegible now, experiencing the echo of long-ago loss. His mind felt much like the weathered stone. From there, the journey to the mill house had not been a long one. He stood before it, wondering what sort of decay and neglect awaited him inside. Then he noticed two things, more or less simultaneously. Smoke was emerging from the chimney, and the tingle of fey magic was back in the air. Anger washed across his awareness without sticking. As distant as everything else seemed to be these days. He strode forward and pushed open the door, determined that if a fey was going to invade his own goddamned house, they could fucking well answer his questions rather than disappearing into the woodwork at the first sign of him. Inside the sitting room, a figure looked up from the chair next to the fireplace. Some small jolt of recognition hit Rensley in the chest, only to fizzle when he attempted to place the oddly familiar features in his memory. The fey looked haunted, his features gaunt with exhaustion or old pain.
"You,"
he breathed, not rising.
"I know you, I think,"
Rensley said slowly.
"Is there some reason you're in my house, sitting in my favorite chair and staring into my fireplace?"
Green eyes bored into him, as though trying to peel back the layers of his skin.
"You think you do not know?"
Rensley set his jaw.
"I appear to be missing rather significant chunks of the recent past, and perhaps the not-so-recent past. There was a war, was there not? And I can find no indication of other vampires, not anywhere in Europe."
The fey let out a slow breath. He looked, if anything, more beaten down than before.
"Yes," he said heavily. "There was a war. All of the vampires were killed. By a fey weapon."
Rensley ignored the wave of ice that shivered through his veins and gestured at himself.
"All the vampires were killed. That's clearly not the case. Don't talk rubbish, fey."
The fey's throat worked, bobbing on a swallow.
"There have been whispers in the fey ranks that a single vampire survived somehow. I did not expect it to be you."
The chill grew deeper, and Rensley set the words aside, unwilling to examine them just now.
"So you do know me, then? And you still haven't said why you're in my house."
The fey's shoulders sagged a fraction. He made a careless gesture with one hand.
"It seemed as good a place as any after."
He paused.
"Well, after. Let's just say, I had no reason to think you'd be back."
Rensley could feel a fine tremor taking up residence in his limbs.
"You said there was a weapon."
The unsealing nodded.
"Yes. I don't know why you would have survived, and no others. Though, you say your mind has been affected. Your memory. Perhaps that is a side effect of some sort.
It made as much sense as anything else in his life right now, Ransley supposed.
But you do know me,
he pressed.
How?
When did we meet? The Fae hesitated, as though considering his next words.
If you are willing, I will attempt to pierce the veil across your mind. Fae magic tends not to work very well on vampires, but I was considered a powerful practitioner once.
Instinctive distaste at the idea warred with curiosity. The curiosity won out.
Fine. Do it.
He let the door swing shut behind him and came to kneel in front of the fire, staring at the dancing flames.
Close your eyes,
the Fae ordered. He did, and warm fingertips settled against his forehead. They stayed like that for several minutes, confused images playing behind his eyes. At first, they refused to coalesce into anything comprehensible. Then, all at once, Ransley's eyes flew open and he jerked back, breaking the contact.
You asshole! You owe me 2 shirts!
The words settled between them. Ransley blinked rapidly, trying to sort the new memories into some kind of context, and failing.
I still can't remember anything else about the war,
he said eventually. Albegard sighed.
The block in your mind is very strong. Stronger than Fae magic can break, at any rate. Perhaps a demon could succeed.
Ransley's lips twisted.
If I can ever find one, I'll ask.
He shook his head, as though trying to dislodge an insect.
Still, it's more answers than I've managed to find in the past several months, anyway. Thank you,
he added grudgingly. Albegard made a dismissive gesture, and Ransley took a moment to truly look at him. The Fae looked beaten down in a way that not even inquisitorial torture in the 16th century had managed.
What about you?
Ransley asked.
Something happened to you too, didn't it? My brother and sister are dead,
he said flatly. Ransley would not have pictured Albegard as having family, people he cared about. Something about the Stark proclamation shifted his perception of the Fae, like a puzzle piece snapping into place to reveal a different picture than you were expecting.
I'm sorry,
he told him, meaning it. Albegard's gaze returned to the flames, growing distant.
No one in the Fae court, or the military chain of command, will tell me how they died, or allow me to see the bodies.
Ransley let the silence stretch.
Will you keep searching for answers?
He asked at length. The Fae was quiet and still for a long time before he finally replied.
Yes, I think I must, though doing so will not enamor me in the court's eyes.
Ransley nodded.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help, you apparently know where to find me.
It was a foolish offer to make, but he couldn't find it in himself to regret it. Albegard nodded slowly.
I shall keep it in mind.
He took a centering breath, his eyes meeting Ransley's.
And what about you? Will you continue searching for your own answers as well?
Ransley thought about it for a bit before replying.
I think I will, yes.
It's not as though I have much else to occupy my time now. Albegard raised an eyebrow.
What? No debauchery.
Ransley scowled at him.
Yes, thank you.
I'm still quite irritated about that untimely interruption, if you must know. The Fae gave a studiously casual shrug.
I will replace the two pieces of clothing. You're on your own with the other.
Ransley felt a tiny flicker of amusement, almost despite himself.
Fair,
he allowed. They sat in silence that was almost companionable for a bit.
I should be going, Albegard said, since the owner of the house has returned.
The prospect of solitude stretched out ahead of Ransley like a gaping black maw, bringing the icy chill back to his veins.
You don't have to, he said,
not entirely sure where the words had come from.
You can stay for a bit, you know, if you like.
Albegard's gaze flickered to his, then back to the fire. He seemed to struggle with something for a long moment.
All right,
he murmured, the words barely audible.
Perhaps I will stay here. For a while.
Finney.